those things that you've had need of and where you have been hurting, may God bring healing. And where you have known turmoil, may God bring peace. And where you have known despondency and depression, may God bring comfort and joy. May God bless you with the eternal riches of God in Christ Jesus. And may you come to a fuller and fuller understanding of His love for you. I pray that God would comfort you in all of your coming and going, that you would have the peace of God and the joy of the Lord and the presence of Christ, and this great joy and gladness of heart would be yours continually, moment by moment, that Jesus, the joy of your desire, would be manifest in your life, in all that you do, in every thought and every word and every deed, and that the Holy Spirit would well up within you as a well of everlasting life flowing out from you to the others all around you. I pray that God would make you a blessing to those around you, and that you truly would be a shining light. I pray that God would bless and prosper you and keep you in health. I pray that God would make His face to shine upon you, that He would be gracious unto you, and that you would know His grace and His mercy in a way beyond anything you've experienced before. Lord, let your blessing be upon us all. Bless us everyone, and may we rejoice in your presence continually. We ask these things in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
For spacious skies, for ever. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, that's 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being, because we have Dr. Allen and Eugene Clark are going to be talking this evening about the problem of autism. And you know, most people, physicians even, have never been aware of the problem with vaccinations, not until it hit their home. Well, Dr. Clark has been a physician for 30 years, done emergency work, general practice, and given many, many vaccines. His wife has as well. She's worked with him. And of course, they believed what they are told by the medical profession, by the medical journals, medical meetings, how wonderful vaccines were, and there was nothing to worry about, and all these crackpots out there talking about the dangers of vaccination until about 9 years ago. Well, I'm going to ask Dr. Clark and his wife, Eugenia. Is it Eugene or Eugenia?
It's Eugene.
Eugene. I'm going to let Dr. Clark start out by telling the story of what happened as far as your son is concerned.
Well, my son was having some behavioral issues such as ADHD several years ago, and I wasn't aware of what the etiology of ADHD was at the time. Then he got his flu shot about 2 years ago, and his behavior became worse, and we took him into a psychologist, and he diagnosed him as having Asperger's syndrome, which is an autism spectrum disorder. Apparently, the flu shot, with mercury in the flu shot, was enough to tip him over into this the autism spectrum. And we learned doing some research on this as to what caused ADHD, Asperger's, and autism. It turned out the literature was quite replete with thousands of articles which documented without a doubt that it was from mercury toxicity in many cases. And we had never known this. We had never been told this at all. And I felt somewhat abandoned and slam dunked by the medical profession and the major journals, because this is something that the pharmaceutical industry really not let physicians know, that there was toxic mercury in the vaccine.
And of course, the thing is that this is in other scientific journals, but it's not in the sort of journal that the average doctor is going to read. And if it's not in the journal he reads, if it's not, you know, mentioned at the meetings, it's not mentioned by the medical society, if the CDC and the NIH, which are all in bed with the pharmaceutical companies, don't tell you, how is the doctor going to know? And so suddenly your child was having all sorts of rather severe behavioral problems at the time?
Correct. And we thought it was severe ADHD. Of course, ADHD is an autism spectrum disorder, just like autism. It's just not as severe.
And I think this is really what's so very important for people to understand, is that there are all sorts of spectrums of the toxic effect of the thimerosal that they've been putting in our vaccines for many years. And, of course, as we've given more vaccines to our children, the incidence of autism has gone from about 1 in 10,000 children to about 1 in 150 children, something like that. And since that's more frequently in boys and girls, what about every 50, 1 in 50 boys? Or how frequently is it in boys?
Well,
I'm talking about frank autism.
Frank autism is 4 times more frequent in boys than it is in girls. And this is because it's been well worked out scientifically, because the estrogen has a protective effect on the brain neurons against mercury.
Well, hold that thought there, because we're going to have to just take off here for just a moment, and we'll be right back with Dr. Clark and the gene. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Clark is telling us a little bit about the background, how this disease actually much more prevalent in boys, 4 times as prevalent in boys as it is in girls, because the estrogens that the girls have physiological makeup seems to protect them from this. But, of course, by the time you get into the consideration of the autism and then the ADHD and the ADHD, and then the mental deficiency. It is estimated that as many as 1 in 5 or 1 in 6 children may actually have some toxic effect from mercury. Would that be a fair statement as you've researched this, Doctor?
Yes. I think Lugina and I both received a memo. Lugina, you want to tell them about it? We received this from the CDC, actually, last year.
All right. What did they say, Lugina?
Well, actually, Dr. Mark Geyer forwarded this to us. He found it, I believe they actually get the pediatric journal, and it was a notice, from the AAP and CDC and, United States Public Health Service, called the Autism Alarm. And 1 in 166 children now have autism, according to the CDC and American Academy of Pediatrics Autism Alarm, which was released in the February 2004 Journal of Pediatrics. And 1 in 6 have neurodevelopmental disorders. And my take on it is just a little bit different than Alan's. I don't believe there is any such thing as autism, ADHD, or ADD, or Asperger's. It's all varying forms of mercury poisoning, mercury toxicity. My view on it is autism is merely a label they came up with in the 40s, because that is approximately 5 years after they introduced thimerosal mercury into the vaccines. The first case of, quote, autism ever identified in the medical literature was 1944 by Leo Kanner. And so autism is merely a label to define what actually the symptomology of autism has been defined before in medical history. Acridemia or Minamata's disease, it's mercury poisoning.
And I think that this really is the problem we have today, is there's been a tremendous amount of denial, certainly on the part of the companies that have been putting it in there. After all, think of the liability there would be. But it has been covered up by the CDC, and of course you mentioned Dr. Mark Geyer and his son, David Geyer, who actually got into the CDC files, found evidence that they knew what was going on, and they've been suppressing the truth, and we're going to be back here in just a moment when we pull our other stations back with us. Okay, fine. Well, of course, the mercury poison, we're told, well, we really want to be so worried about the fish, because fish swimming in the ocean are getting a small amount of mercury, and there's a small amount of mercury in the fish. So pregnant women shouldn't go ahead and take vaccinations, because, of course, we wouldn't want them to harm the child in their uterus. And yet, no sooner is that child born than up until very recently, within the first few hours of birth, they were giving that child extremely toxic doses of mercury, enough to harm their brains in the recovery room, in the nursery, and parents were, told, you have to have this, we've got to protect your child against hepatitis B, when there is absolutely no medical justification for that unless the mother is hepatitis B infected. And it was a massive experiment on every child in America. That, I think, was criminal. What are your thoughts about that, Lugina?
Well, I agree. Our son was born neurotypical, perfectly healthy, absolutely no problems. And on the day, it's our understanding that on the day he was born, he received his hepatitis B. And according to his weight and according to the amount of mercury that was in that hepatitis B shot, 12.5 micrograms, and he was 8 pounds 3 ounces, that is more than 34 times the EPA legal limit for ingesting mercury. You know, that doesn't even count the fact that this was a bolus dose to this newborn child. And the little boy that was born 2 hours after our son, in the same hospital, they were friends of ours, and their son also received the hepatitis B. He also has been diagnosed with Asperger's, born 2 hours apart from our son. Now, Dr. Stan, that's not coincidence, and we rarely see coincidences in medicine. You've been a doctor many, many years, as has my husband. You know, I worked in medical offices as a nurse. We rarely see coincidences
No, of course, the thing is that they cannot admit what's happened. After all, if the CDC and the NIH were to come out and admit what's happened, why, people would lose confidence in them. And maybe they should. Well, but Dr. Clark, you've been, of course, studying this. What have you learned as far as, you know, the effects of this? Of course, now they tell us that they've taken the thimerosal out of childhood vaccines. Have they really taken them out of the childhood vaccines? Can we really trust what they tell us?
Well, in 2000, several of the academies of various organizations have recommended that they be phased out. And to their credit, they were doing this in 99 and 2000. However, even though they've now phased them out of some vaccines for early childhood, they stayed on the shelf probably up until 2003, 2004, because the shelf life extended that many years. So a lot of children were still getting mercury in their vaccinations even after they were, quote, phasing it out.
And, of course, this is what's so inconceivable. They knew it was toxic. They knew it was dangerous. But, of course, they didn't want to waste the vaccine, so they went ahead and poisoned the brains of our children, because this is where mercury really has its greatest effect, is on the minds of our children, lowering their IQ, producing permanent damage that will be with many of these children the rest of their lives. And now there are treatments for it, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit later. But my understanding is that they've left the mercury in the vaccines that they're giving to people in third world countries. Is that right?
That is correct. I've done a lot of investigating on this, and I identified a memo from the World Health Organization where in May 21st of 2002, the World Health Organization, along with high-ranking members of the CDC and FDA, Dr. William Egan, head of the FDA, was at that meeting that they had with vaccine manufacturers, and for primarily financial reasons and for keeping immunization rates high in third world countries, they made the collective decision, sitting there in a room with vaccine manufacturers, to engage in, and I quote from their memo, a strong advocacy campaign to continue the use of thimerosal. Now, Dr. Stan, that's criminal.
Of course it's criminal, but there are a lot of criminal activities going on now. The rationale, what is the rationale for leaving the thimerosal in the vaccines given to third world countries? Is it we really don't care about the children there? They really are expendable? Or are they going to justify this, oh, we have to give that to them because otherwise, of course, they might get infections from the vaccine because they don't have the refrigeration or the sterile techniques there that we have here. What's the justification for that?
They claimed that, but actually the justification is money. It's pure economics. They would lose, you know, several million dollars or millions of dollars in reformatting a new preservative, which they could very easily do, but it would cost them money.
But then what are they going to use for a preservative in the vaccines they're using here in the United States if they're taking the thimerosal out?
Well, they can use a phenoxyethanol is being used in several vaccines now. As far as we know, it's safe. Dr. Geyer and I have talked about that. They've not found any evidence that there's a problem with that. It may cost a few cents more to use it, but I think when you consider that it costs $50,000 a year to care for these damaged children, a few pennies is well worth it.
Well, now, of course, as we see this, the tremendous increase in mental disease and problems as far as our children, and you're quoting a recent report that says as many as one in six of our children does have a neurological developmental problem. We never saw anything like that 30 years ago when you got started in medicine, did we?
No, it was totally unheard of to me. I mean, I just never saw that kind of increase in ADHD and autism until the last 10 or 15 years. And then we started seeing lots of ADHD. I know in my office practice, we were seeing lots of children who were being referred for ADHD testing. And we were thinking, you know, what is going on here? We didn't see this 10 years before. And then all of a sudden, in this decade, we start hearing about autism. And frankly, the only thing I knew about autism is what I read in the major medical journals, well-funded by the pharmaceutical companies. And that was that there was no relationship between vaccines and autism. And when I heard that, I thought, well, that's good. You know, that's real good. And then a year later, I find out that they were totally lying at the time.
But of course, you found that because you did the research on your own. You went onto the internet and got the original medical. This is all up in the medical journals, but not the medical journals the average doctor reads. It's really the scientific journals where they're studying the effects of mercury. The terrible toxic effects of it. I mean, they've done away with mercury thermometers. Why? Because mercury is so dangerous. They've done away with mercury sphygmomanometers used in the hospital for years. I was trained with them. Why? Because they're so dangerous. They're concerned about the mercury emissions from coal-burning power plants. They're worried about the mercury in, you know, in the fish in the sea that you might be eating or in tuna fish. But they're not worried about the toxic, massive doses that they're giving to our children, you know, in the childhood vaccines. And then, of course, we come to the subject of the influenza vaccine. Now, they have not taken the mercury out of the influenza vaccine, have they?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, the reason, one of the reasons we're so passionately working on the state-to-state and the national initiatives to ban this horrible substance, even though they have gotten it out of a lot of vaccines, the flu shot was our son's toxic tipping point. It has 25 micrograms in a flu shot. And to put it in perspective, according to the EPA, a person would have to weigh 550 pounds to safely handle that amount of mercury. And they're wanting to give this to pregnant women and to babies as young as 6 months of age. And Dr. Stan, you know that mercury crosses not only the blood-brain barrier, and peer-reviewed studies have shown this, it also crosses the placenta from the mother into the fetus.
And I'm sure that some people in government know that as well, and they either don't know, they don't care, or, well, we won't speculate as to why they're doing this, but, you know, what the most amazing thing was the way last winter, and I can remember so well, the propaganda campaign that they coordinated with the mass media to tell us, while we're running out of flu shots, you better run down and get your flu shot. They're not going to be available much longer. If you don't get your flu shot, you may not get one. And, you know, people die of flu, and we're here from the government, and we want to advise you, you better go down and get your flu shot. There are only a few left. There's not going to be left very much more. And they stampeded the people to go down and take the flu shot. Number one, it was for the wrong organism. They knew that. It wasn't going to do any significant good for the majority of the people that were taking it, the vast majority, and they knew that there was a toxic dose of mercury in that. Are you acquainted with Dr. Fundenberg's work on the flu vaccine, its relationship to Alzheimer's disease?
Yes, I am. I've contacted him and gotten some information from him on this.
Would you like to tell our listeners about what he found about people over 60 taking three or four influenza shots over a period of 5 years?
I believe he found that the incidence of Alzheimer's disease skyrocketed in this group.
1,000%. 1,000%. The government knows this. It's in the literature. Anybody out there in the listening audience who wants to verify it, look up Fundenberg, F-U-D-E-N-B-E-R-G, I believe it is. And, of course, if you can't find it, well, we'll be glad to send you a copy of the abstract of his article. Dr. Fundenberg has written over 800 or 850 peer-reviewed articles. He's really one of the world's leading experts on vaccines, isn't he?
Yes, and also for treatment. He's an expert on transfer factors.
All right, fine. And, of course, what the tragedy is, the officials in Washington, D.C., and the NIH and the CDC know what's happening, and they know, of course, but then aren't there too many older people out there? And you get Alzheimer's disease, you don't last very long after that. And so they're recommending that older people, the older people, to protect you, to protect your health because you're much more susceptible to influenza, you go down and you get your shot. With the 25 micrograms of mercury in it, and you're going to increase your incidence of Alzheimer's disease 1,000%. Now, if that's true, why don't the doctors know it? And the doctors don't know it because they're not being told, and that's why you need to get the information and, of course, get it out across America. Well, you know, there's just so much out there, Dr. Clark. What are some of the other things you found about the dangers of mercury?
Well, of course, the Alzheimer's risk is there, not just for flu vaccine, but for ingesting mercury from any source. It also causes cardiac damage as well.
All right, we're going to be touching on the cardiac damage and the other complications when we get back here. We'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. My suggestion to you is get the information. Remember, the life you save could be that of a loved one. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this evening is Dr. Clark and Eugene Shark. Clark, who's a nurse, and of course they have worked together for many years, but of course they've been very concerned about their son, and we're going to tell you about the treatment that they have used to help their child. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about, you were mentioning the cardiac damage. What about the cardiac damage as far as mercury is concerned?
Well, we do know that the mercury goes to the heart as well, and it was interesting, a study several years ago in a cardiology journal, this was pointed out to me by Dr. Geyer and Dr. Haley, showed that these athletes that were dying on the football field of cardiac disease, they had actually idiopathic dilated cardiomyopathy, which is an enlarged heart, found at autopsy. They did tissue analysis and found very, very high levels of mercury in these athletes' hearts. And, you know, we were thinking, Dr. Guy and I were talking one night on the phone, and we're thinking, what was causing this? He said, I think I know what it is. He said, these kids were pumping up testosterone injections into their muscles two or three times a week, illegally obtained testosterone, which contains thimerosal at 25 micrograms per shot, and these children could not excrete the mercury. This is the reason that only a certain number of children get autism, because they do not have the genetic ability to excrete the mercury out of their body. And these athletes were in that same category, and they developed serious heart disease and died from the mercury toxicity from these shots.
And I think that's why it's such an important point that you're making, as the fact that every child does not get autism or even certain mental changes from the mercury, because some children can handle the mercury better than others. Some children can excrete it, others cannot. And if you can't excrete it, it localizes in your brain and produces these terrible effects. Would that be a fair statement?
Exactly. That's an easy way of putting it. It's kind of a complicated genetic pattern, but suffice it to say they've worked it out and they're the exact genes that caused this, and can even test children for them.
And so, of course, we're seeing, of course, the sudden death syndrome from time to time in athletes, but this is never mentioned as a possibility that it's related to the testosterone they're taking and the fact that it contains thimerosal. What else is thimerosal found in? Thimerosal is a mercury compound. It's made by Eli Lilly. It was so interesting that when they tried to get through that Office of Homeland Security legislation, you remember that was to protect us from the wicked terrorists, and somebody just tacked on a little law there about 3 o'clock in the morning when nobody was looking, saying that nobody could ever sue Eli Lilly again for the thimerosal toxicity. And of course, when people heard about that, they raised such a fuss that they took that out of the bill, it was only because the people were furious when they realized they were using the Office of Homeland Security not to protect the American people from terrorists. They were using it to protect Eli Lilly from the lawsuits that they justly deserve for using a product that they know is toxic. There are thousands of articles showing the toxicity of thimerosal, and of course, the only articles that show that it isn't harmful are those that Eli Lilly paid large sums of money to purchase from prostitutes.
And I believe the Homeland, Eli Lilly was well represented in Homeland Security, wasn't it, Eugene? I believe he was.
Yes. If you recall, one of the high-ranking executives at Eli Lilly was Sidney Turrell, and President Bush appointed him to the Homeland Security. Mitch Daniels also was with Eli Lilly for a number of years, and the president appointed him to the Office of Management and Budget. Which is a very powerful position.
Hold that thought for just a minute here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here with Dr. Alan Clark and his wife Eugene, and we're talking about thimerosal. The fact that when they were trying to get through the Office of Homeland Security legislation, and you remember, of course, that was to protect the American people from Osama bin Laden and his associates, his radical Islamic associates. One of the provisions of the legislation was included in the middle of the night when nobody was watching, to say that Eli Lilly, the manufacturer of thimerosal, could never be sued for the toxic effects of thimerosal poisoning the minds of the children, because, of course, they know that this is going to come out one of these days. They're going to face devastating lawsuits, which they should, because there are thousands, literally thousands of articles showing the toxic effect of their product, which they're putting into the vaccines and other products. And only I know of one. Now they tell me there are two new studies say thimerosal is not harmful. In fact, it's even helpful. And those, of course, I'm sure were purchased by a large sum of money by Eli Lilly, but they have nothing to do with science. And unfortunately, there are men who will prostitute their scientific profession for money, and this is the great tragedy of modern times. But what's even more tragic is the Bush administration tried to get that legislation through. Fortunately, there was an aroused and angry public, and they had to withdraw the legislation. So basically, let's talk a little bit about your son, because my understanding is your son has really improved tremendously, because there are treatments for autism, aren't there?
Yes, there are biomedical treatments. They've worked out the exact pathways for the thimerosal damages to the brain, the biochemical defects, and by giving not drugs, not pharmaceutical agents made by Eli Lilly, although Eli Lilly would like for you to think that Strattera is the only treatment. Autism is not a Strattera deficiency or a Ritalin deficiency. It's caused by specific enzyme destruction in several metabolic pathways, and by providing the nutrients that these enzymes need, you can bypass some of this, and actually some of these children are cured.
All right, now what sort of things then are you giving? What nutrition are you giving? Vitamins and certain minerals, and then we'll talk about the transfer factor, but let's talk about, first of all, the metabolic treatment.
Well, of course, a lot of children respond well to a gluten-free, casein-free diet, and that has a lot to do with changing the gut flora and the healing the intestinal tract. Our son is not on that specific diet at this time because he's doing well just with supplements. We use B6, magnesium. We're going to start him on methylcobalamin, which is methyl B12, and that is specifically replaces the methylation of the B12, which the body cannot do when it's mercury damaged. We also give him the transfer factor, which helps to boost the immune system, which takes a big hit from the mercury very early on in life. And these children get frequent infections. They get eczema. They have asthma, allergic rhinitis, hay fever. And this helps to ameliorate some of those symptoms so they're not sick as much.
But of course, then many of these children do have multiple allergies as well as the metal changes.
That's right. Yes, our son has allergic rhinitis, asthma, and eczema. He has everything.
But is this specifically related, do you think, to the mercury or to the autoimmune response to the mercury?
It's the immune hit that the mercury causes on the immune system of the body.
So you're using B6, you're using B12, you're using magnesium, and what else are you using?
We're using multivitamins. We're using cod liver oil, which has natural vitamin A and vitamin D in it, plus the omega-3 fatty acids in cod liver oil are very effective for these children. And we use this combination of what we call the DAN protocol, the Defeat Autism Now protocol. These children respond dramatically. Not all of them are cured, but some of them either get much better or are significantly able to mainstream into school and society after that.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now, what about the transfer factor? What is the transfer factor? And we've got Gloria hanging on for Spokane. We'll get to you in just a minute, Gloria. But tell us a little bit about the transfer factor that Dr. Fudenberg has been encouraging people to take.
Well, it was discovered, by, I believe, in the 30s or the 40s, and it was used to transform immunity from patients with tuberculosis from someone who didn't have tuberculosis, they had the antibodies to cure tuberculosis before they had the drugs. But I worked with transfer factor in the early 70s as a medical student and did not really realize there was an oil formulation to a reason. And you can buy this from reputable companies on the internet that sell transfer factor. And what we've been using, what it does, it transfers immunity from different species to the human species. Like uploading a program on your computer. Unfortunately, you have to upload it every day. But it tells the body to start fighting infection. We use ours from egg or cow sources, and they're able to concentrate this material that's absorbed, it's not digested, it's absorbed right through the intestinal tract, you'd expect it would be, because mother's milk would be high in the transfer factor for the baby.
Now, there's something like Clostridium, then, they're getting from a colostrum that they're getting from cows?
Right, colostrum has transfer factor and other substances in it. They actually purify the transfer factor, though, from bovine colostrum and from egg sources, which is very effective in treating the infection.
Hold that right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and right now we've got Gloria on the line calling in from Spokane. Hi, Gloria. How are you doing?
Hi. I just have two questions. Would your guest comment on the Hib and the Prevnar for a four-month-old infant? And also, what would possibly cause oral thrush in an infant?
All right. The Hib and the Prevnar, is it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then did you hear the question, Dr. Clark?
Yes. As far as I know, the Hib and the Prevnar, the thimerosal have been removed from the infant vaccines. You do want to check the box, though. There may be stray lots that are out there where the thimerosal is still in there for the shelf life of several years. So ask your pediatrician or nurse to look at the box of Kenyan.
I would actually read it yourself, myself.
Right. They don't longer put it in the bottle. They're violating the FDA laws for that. The FDA said they don't care, which is kind of interesting. Of course, the first thing that the doctor and the nurse usually, what the nurse will do, is throw the box away. So you need to be sure when you see the box, be sure it's thimerosal free. Doing that, and I think the Hib or the Prevnar would probably be okay if there are that trace thimerosal is considered thimerosal free. On the issue of the thrush, if there's a candida or thrush in the mouth, then you know it's going to be in the intestinal tract. So we're finding that thrush in the mouth is just a symptom of the candida infestation in the intestinal tract, and that is secondary to the mercury that a lot of these kids are getting either in utero from fish intake for the mother or mouth fillings that the mother may have, and then the vaccine dosing as well. We are seeing a decrease in the amount of mercury, of course, load because the vaccines don't contain as much, but still, one out of six children are born with high levels of mercury just from the mother's intake of fish and dental amalgam fillings. So the mercury is still getting to the babies, and that causes this candidiasis or thrush in the mouth and in the intestinal tract.
Okay, does that answer your question then?
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Fine. And so that was Gloria calling from Spokane, and we'll be back here in just a moment with our other stations will be joining us. But, of course, how does the mercury actually produce the candidiasis in the gut? Is it toxic there? Does it predispose to yeast infection? Does it destroy the natural immunity? How does it work?
Right, it knocks out the natural immune system of the gut. Of course, the intestinal tract houses 50% of our immune system. And when the immune system takes a direct hit by the mercury, in whatever form, whether it's fish or amalgams or injections and vaccines, the immune system is unable to sustain a healthy flora or bacterial composition. That's another thing.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Dr. Alan Clark and his wife Eugene. We're talking about certainly mercury poisoning. We're talking about neonatal vaccinations. Of course, they've taken, at least they tell us they've taken the mercury out of the neonatal vaccines. But of course, they've left it in the influenza vaccine, and they insist they have a great propaganda campaign. It's already being launched, warning us about all the people are going to die this year of influenza if you don't get your influenza vaccine. I would comment, I'm not getting my influenza vaccine, and I hope that you will check out our references to Dr. Fudenberg's work, and it's up on the internet. If you can't get it, we'll be glad to get it for you, where he points out if you are over 60 and take 3 or 4 influenza injections over a 5-year period, your incidence of Alzheimer's disease increases 1,000%. And believe me, the people in public health know that. But, of course, the average individual and the average physician certainly doesn't. So our job is to get that information out. Is there anything else now? You mentioned the transfer factor. Is that really beneficial as far as the treatment of autism and other mercury-related mental diseases?
Right, because their immune system is not having to fight all the time. My son has had very, very few infections since we began over a year ago. He's had maybe 2 or 3 days of infection in one whole year before he was sick every 2 or 3 weeks. We take it. We haven't had a cold or a cough or anything in over a year.
And so he's really ever so much better now after he's been in treatment.
Right. We also use the Biofloor. We mentioned before the Canada. We give him bacteria, special Biofloor capsules with good gut bacteria to replace the ones that are being knocked off of the immune system. And then we use the far infrared sauna to remove the mercury.
Could you explain about the use of the infrared sauna?
Right. It's a using Farnsworth heat, which is the same heat from the sun. It's not ultraviolet radiation, so there's no burning. And it's safe heat. Mayo Clinic used it to actually treat heart failure patients. It increases the amount of good endothelial nitric oxide. It lowers the blood pressure. It improves heart function. 30 minutes in the sauna is equivalent to walking 2 hours on cardiovascular health. But even elderly people can do it. And it also causes you to sweat and release in the sweat almost all the toxins that we accumulate every day. The aluminum, lead, mercury, dioxins, the fluoride we get from drinking water, which is very toxic, the chlorine, about all the pesticides we come in contact with every day. All of those things are stored in our body, and our livers can't get them all out. The only way to get them out truly is with the infrared sauna.
All right, and of course, now, how do you set up the sauna? Is it set up in your home, or do you have to go someplace for it?
We bought a two-person model in our house, and we put it together in 30 minutes. It doesn't require any tools. You go on the Internet. There are several good sites that you can actually go to look at the, just type in far infrared sauna in Google, and it'll come up with several good sites that you can look at their materials. You can get a two-person model for roughly $3,000.
Okay. Well, Eugene, of course, you probably know a lot of this. I know you've done a lot of research on this. Would you like to tell us about your website and where people can get the information that they need?
Yes. Our website is www.nomercury.org. We do it strictly for educational and research purposes only. We do not solicit donations or accept donations. We do not promote any products or services. All of the information on our site is free. We have much of the peer-reviewed studies you've heard us discuss tonight are on that website. We have a lot of the evidence so that, you know, don't take our word for it. Go and look at what other scientists throughout probably the last 50 years have told us about this acutely neurotoxic substance. And it has no legitimate place in children's vaccines or in medicines of any kind.
No, it really doesn't. And, of course, the tragedy is the Centers for Disease Control knows what's going on. And when, of course, Dr. Mark Geyer and David Geyer were allowed to see their database, and when they really discovered that they actually had control groups, one that had, a group of children that had got the DPT with thimerosal and one that had gotten it without. And do you remember there was a marked difference between the two groups as far as the autism is concerned. Do you remember those figures at all?
They found up between 10 and 27-fold increased risk of autism in those.
10 to 27-fold increase in autism if the children got the thimerosal. And what did the CDC do? Why they told that David and Mark Geyer that they can never use the database again, and they put a clamp on that. Now, this belongs to the public, but even members of Congress are having difficulty getting that information, aren't they?
Right.
Yes. Congressman Dave Weldon, the only doctor in the House of Representatives, the U.S. House of Representatives, has tried to get independent researchers access. This database is paid for with our tax dollars. We own that database. And as you know, Dr. Stan, with any research and any legitimate researcher, they want their work replicated. That gives their work credibility. They want independent replication and verification and transparency to their work. Unless, of course, you're the CDC and the Vaccine Safety Data Link, then they have very tight controls about who can access this data. And once Dr. Geyer and his son Mark, his son David, got into the data link, and under very self-control, under very controlled circumstances, there was no way that they could access anyone's name or personal identification whatsoever. It was completely blinded to anyone's identifying information. And they found this, and once the CDC knew this and that they were going to publish this, 3 days after they testified to what they found in the VSD at the Institute of Medicine Vaccine Safety meeting in February, on February 9th of 2004, 3 days later, the CDC sent a letter to Dr. and David Geyer, Dr. Mark and then David Geyer, telling them not only could they not have access in the future to this information, they weren't allowed to publish what they found in a database paid for by American tax dollars.
That's, I think, what they call a cover-up, because, of course, the implications of this are frightening as far as the vaccine industry, and they will not do, they will do everything they can to block the truth from getting out. And I think that it really is criminal activity, and I think, I hope, that there will be some major lawsuits, including naming people working within the CDC and the vaccine industry who are involved in this truly RICO cover-up. Well, let's go to Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I guess if there's any justice, then any Tom, Dick, and Harry should have access to that database for whatever purpose.
Well, of course, what you have to understand is it's a cover-up. So much of what goes on today is cover-up. Did you have a question for us?
Yeah, we have good reason to believe, because you mentioned the bolus nature of the vaccine dose, say that we could likely safely inhale 100 times that mercury, say, spread over a month, that the body would scavenge it as it goes, etc.
I don't think you would. You wouldn't want to be inhaling mercury either.
No, not that you'd want to, but I mean, it would likely be more safe.
Well, you want to comment on that, either Eugene or Ellen?
Actually, that's not what they're finding. They're finding that even at nanomolar levels, and depending upon the type of mercury, dimethylmercury, Dr. Wetterhahn was a mercury researcher for a number of years, one of the preeminent mercury researchers. I think 2 drops of dimethylmercury on her gloved hand, and within 10 months she had passed away. I mean, she got acutely mercury toxic from 2 drops through a double gloved laboratory situation. So depending upon whether it's mercury vapor, whether it's methylmercury, they're actually finding that ethylmercury is acutely neurotoxic and nephrotoxic, genotoxic, and cytotoxic. So no, they're finding it as low as nanomolar levels. It is toxic. So I wouldn't feel comfortable making that statement. I really wouldn't.
And Roger, when I first got started in medicine, we used to use mercurochrome and methylate. They were mercury compounds. They're wonderful for killing bacteria, but they're also wonderful for damaging and killing people. And those are outlawed today. You won't find those red substances we used to put on the skin when you were a child, and certainly when I was a child, because the government says that they are entirely too toxic. Now, you must understand, when you inhale things, they will go right into your system as well. Toxic substances will go through your skin. They will go through your nasal membrane. Don't be inhaling any mercury, if you could take a word of advice. In fact, there's a story of a woman who broke a mercury thermometer, and, of course, she wanted to vacuum up the mercury in the process. She aerosolized it, and everybody in her home inhaling the mercury became very ill, and I think one or two of them died. So don't take any chances, okay?
Yeah, if you please, lastly, would you, a previous guest suggested that you would want to chelate for mercury first, lest if you go, say, for lead or whatever else, you might cause the mercury to be more tightly bound. God bless.
Okay, thanks so much. Do you know anything about, tell about, oh, whoops, Eugene?
Yes.
Oh, okay, we've still got you. Are you there, Eugene?
I'm here, yes.
All right, fine. That's the last one.
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Sand.
Well, I don't know. We've got we lost your husband. I don't think that. Alan, are you there? I think we lost Alan. All right, fine. Let's go ahead and call Alan back, if you would, please. I'm talking now to my producer. We still got Eugene on the line. I don't know how that happened. Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about what you've learned as far as the treatments are concerned. Do you have actually listed good treatments for autism on your website, or references to some of the groups that are really working full-time on treatment? Are you there? Well, let's see. Eugene, are you there? Well, maybe, I guess we lost Ellen. We've lost Eugene. I'm going to ask Herman to try to get both of them back on here. It sometimes gets a little complicated. Under any circumstances, we've got a real problem. We have literally tens of thousands of children who are victims of the thimerosal. They are autistic children, and autistic children are a terrible, terrible burden for the family. They're disruptive. Many of them, just cannot learn. They cannot function well in society. Now, fortunately, there are treatments available, but of course the treatments are based upon getting rid of the mercury, and of course the government is doing everything they can to conceal the truth. They can't admit that there's mercury as a basis for the autism, so they're concealing many of the treatments. Lugene, is this Lugene or is this Alan?
This is Alan. I came up and got her phone. She's taking mine.
All right, fine. Well, then you go ahead. We'll get Lugene back on here in just a minute. We did a quick switch there. Anyway, of course, I was just saying that one of the reasons I believe that the government is not recommending a lot of the treatments is because by so doing, they would have to admit that they know that mercury is responsible for autism. Have you thought of that?
Well, exactly. They're hiding it because of the huge fallout that would occur from a liability standpoint.
And don't you think they're also worried that people might lose confidence in them? I mean, they wouldn't trust government officials anymore if they knew that they'd been covering this up for many years?
Well, which is exactly what's happened to the people who are listening to this broadcast now, and the people that I've talked to who have actually found out what they've done. We have lost confidence in the program because we don't know what else they're hiding. And once the general public finds out what they've done, it's going to cause a massive distrust in the vaccine program and, I think, in medicine in general.
Well, I think that, of course, our job is to try to get the people to understand that the doctors are not the ones who are at fault. It's simply that they've been lied to, and I keep telling our listeners to get the information, get the documentation, go to the websites like Dr. Clark and Lugene's website, nomercury.org, that's nomercury.org, and, of course, put together a folder, take it to your doctor, and ask him, would you really want to hurt anybody? Why don't you look at this material and you have a week or 2 weeks, look at it, check it out, and maybe you'd even want to get, if you're out there in the audience, some of our poor tape sets on this material. But there's so much information available on the internet and these are solid scientific studies, and they've been around for a long time, and of course the government knows, but they are covering that up. Well, Lugene, you've been at this for, about 2 years now? When did you really find what was going on?
Actually, it's been almost 1 year. We got his diagnosis of Asperger's right about September the 29th last year. And because I was largely unfamiliar with it and being a typical loving mom, when I got a diagnosis that something had happened to my child, I was not familiar with this. I got right on the internet and started researching, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was absolutely astounded.
Well, the story is so incredible. You know, when I first got started some 40 years ago looking into some of these things, I thought that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard, because it was totally contrary to everything I learned in college. And step by step, I've just had to relearn everything that I learned in college and realize that so much of it just wasn't true. But, of course, it's really wonderful to be free of all the false information. And, of course, we have such an advantage today that we didn't have 20 or 30 years ago when I was beginning to get involved in this. And that is, the Internet gives access to so much great information.
Yes, it does. As a matter of fact, that is ultimately what is going to be that sets this tremendous tragedy on America's children. What sets it free, and what will ultimately free these children from this devastating neurodevelopmental disorders, which is mercury toxicity, is the fact that whether you're sitting in Carthage, Missouri, as we are tonight, or whether you're sitting in Japan or the UK, if you have access to an internet, you have the same information available to you that most scientists have. People can log on to PubMed and research the abstracts. Now, they would have to pay for the full text articles, or they could write down the citation. The actual abstract is listed there, and they can write it down, and they can order it from a library. But most of these studies, or quite a few of these studies, are actually on our website, and they can access them for free. But anyone can verify what we're saying by going to PubMed and typing in the word thimerosal. In Europe, they call it thiomersal.
Now, of course, are they using thimerosal in Europe today, or have they banned it yet?
It's our understanding that they have phased out the, in Europe it's called thiomersal. In the UK, they have phased out the thiomersal and are no longer using it as of, I believe, September 1st.
Well, I think that's great, and I hope that it'll be out of all of our vaccines here before long. Well, but of course, it's going to take a lot of pressure from the public to do that. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, we've got just a couple of minutes left, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, right here in the mid-coast of California. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Alan Clark and his wife, Eugene Clark. Their website is nomercury.org. That's nomercury.org. And this is really such a vitally important issue. Everything we hear so much about, oh, the liberal, oh, my goodness, we've just got to do this and that, because it's for the children. It's for the children. Everything is for the children. Well, we're talking about poisoning children. We're talking about one in six American children having a neurological developmental disorder, and of course many of these are directly related to the use of thimerosal in vaccines, and of course now they are still leaving the thimerosal in the influenza vaccine, and when your doctor tells you you have to get your influenza vaccine this year, I hope you'll remember what we said about Dr. Fudenberg, and you'll go to his website and get that information. And, of course, you'll inform your doctor about, he may not like it. I know when I was a practicing physician, I always hated when somebody had come in and said, what about this? Have you looked at this? Let me show you what I found. But I learned after a certain period of time at least to look at it. And once in a while, I actually learned things from people who are not part of the medical profession. Well, Dr. Clark, what is your advice to the listener out there this evening?
Well, it's to be very wary of what you are told as dogma from the CDC or the NIH. Physicians, unfortunately, are not free thinkers, and so they will listen to what the CDC says. You've got to question everything, including your medications. I'm not saying all medications are bad, but there are a lot of things that can be treated. As you know, Dr. Stan, being a physician as well, you don't need a drug for every ill that you have.
Well, let's go to Russ quickly, calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Russ. Did you have a quick question?
Hello. Yeah, I had had some mercury testing done, and a DMPS, they call it, and got a pretty high rate, real high, like one of the highest people that they had tested. And I was trying to figure out where I got this stuff, you know, and after getting the testing, I got the mercury taken out of my fillings and that by a friend of mine who's a dentist, and he did a pretty good job of it. And I know that's a very, you know, technical procedure that has to be done right. He did pretty good at it, I think. But I guess my question really is, how do you, the normal average person that tends to be pretty careful, how would you get these high levels of mercury?
Do you take your influenza shots regularly?
No.
All right, fine. Do you have any thoughts at all about that, Dr. Clark?
Sounds like he answered his own question there. Okay. It sounded like if you had amalgam fillings, you were getting between 2 and 17 micrograms of mercury vapor delivered to your body for every filling that you had in your mouth.
Oh, really?
Per day.
Okay, we're going to thanks very much, Russ.
I still. Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, don't forget about the influence of mercury fillings. There is a very definite relationship between mercury fillings and mercury toxicity. And, of course, one of these days the dentists are going to have to stop putting in the mercury fillings. That's a whole different subject. Any of our people who would like more information on that, we have a wonderful four-tape set on mercury. And two of those test interviews with Dr. Haley, who I know Dr. Clark knows. I want to thank both of you for being our guest this evening on the program.
Thank you, Dr. Sam.
Glad to be here.
Really appreciate it.
So thanks very much, and we'll look forward to having you back on one of our other programs in the near future.
That's right, and remind your California listeners, please contact the governor's office. AB 2943 is sitting on Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's desk. If he signs it, California will be the second state in the nation to ban that toxic substance for pregnant women and children under three.
And give that number again. What's the number again?
It is Bill AB 2943.
All right. Call the governor. Tell him to vote yes. Through.
Please sign that bill.
It'll take the mercury out of the vaccines.
That's right.
Boy, it'll sure make the CDC angry. God bless you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, bye, okay, Dr. Stan.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will give serious consideration to helping us as we reach out 5 hours a day across America on radio, on the Internet, 4 hours a day on shortwave and satellite, bringing you the information you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Dan Rather, or Tom Brokaw, who are among the finest conservative commentators, or finest commentators of both conservative and liberal, that money could buy. And so our plea is to get the facts and then help us disseminate it. But if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family or know more about our organization, well, you can go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. We hope, of course, many of you want to come to our November 6th meeting we're going to be having here in the Central Coast of California. And if you're interested in coming and having lunch and listening all day to our programs, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We've got Betty calling from, is that Michigan or Minnesota?
Michigan.
Hi, Betty.
I'll be quick, Dr. Stan. I wanted to ask, when the dentists are taking amalgams out of teeth and putting them in, doesn't that go into the waste stream?
Yes, it certainly does. In fact, actually, there's a very high incidence of suicide among doctors, among dentists, simply because they're getting mercury intoxication. Ever heard that old expression, mad as a hatter? You know why hatters went mad? Because they've used mercury, and the dentists are getting toxic doses all the time, and the dental society is not telling them.
Goodness, I just wondered about the sewage coming out.
Yeah, it's a very real problem, and it should not be going into the sewage, because then, of course, it gets out into the water and the ocean, and it doesn't help matters at all.
Thank you.
So what they really need to do is start putting in composite fillings, and you want to find, but if you're going to get your fillings changed, you better go to a dentist who really knows what they're doing. If you don't do that, you're going to end up getting a toxic dose of mercury poisoning, and some people have actually gotten mercury poisoning while they were taking the fillings out. So
yeah, I would
somebody
imagine.
Who knows what they're doing.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we have a wonderful four-tape set on mercury, and we have a four-tape set on fluoride, we have a four-tape set on aspartame, and we're going to be talking about aspartame, and, of course, this is another poison, but we're making some real progress there. I think it'll be exciting when you hear the news that we're going to be releasing this next hour, but, of course, for those of you in the Great Northwest who won't be hearing the program, unless, of course, you're on the Internet or shortwave, where you can hear us on two different stations, and, of course, actually one Internet station, that's RadioLiberty.com. But anyway, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so if you're leaving us until Thursday at the same time, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and, of course, the views of our callers as well. But right now we have on the line with us Betty Martini, who is working on the issue of aspartame poisoning. And aspartame, which we call NutraSweet, is found under many other names, but aspartame and MSG are excitotoxins. They have a toxic effect on the brain, and of course they are actually poisons. They're well known to be poisons, and we're poisoning our children, we're poisoning our adults. This is a terrible product, and what's so interesting, Betty was telling me earlier this evening before we went on the air, that at long last, Pepsi is finally going to take this poison out of their Diet Coke, and of course, I guess it's a whatever Diet Pepsi, and hopefully, of course, we're going to be able to get this off the market. It never should have been on the market in the first place. Aspartame produces brain tumors. It produces all sorts of other tumors in animal experiments. There's no reason to expect that it wouldn't do this in human beings as well. It produces a loss of learning ability. It produces a Parkinson's disease and certainly other mental diseases, probably related to certain MS-like diseases and Lou Gehrig's disease. There are so many problems that you have with this product, and this was known before it was ever approved back in 1981 by the Federal Drug Administration. Well, I'm going to let Betty Martini tell us this incredible story of aspartame and the poisoning of the American people. Good evening, Betty. Thank you so very much for staying up late back there in the East Coast to be with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Glad to be with you again.
Well, tell us now, how did you get interested in this subject? How did you learn that there was a real problem with this? Because I know your husband had retired, and he said, "Should we see the world, or do you want to save the world?" And you said, "I'm going to save the world," and you've been working almost full-time, day in, day out, you know, trying to get the truth out about this poison that is affecting and destroying so many people's lives.
Well, actually, the way it happened is my husband had retired, and we had planned to see the world, but I have a background in medicine and had at the time 22 years, so I know that when someone is diagnosed with Parkinson one day, you know, they don't die the next. And we had a friend who appeared to be dying just after he was diagnosed, and his arms and legs would kick out. And it was at the same time a friend and physician came to Atlanta and happened to mention about NutraSweet. So I decided to call the world expert, which is Dr. H.J. Roberts, who told me that what I was seeing was the interaction of L-DOPA and aspartame, that he was probably using Diet Coke with his L-DOPA. And sure enough, that's just exactly what he was doing. And within 4 days, he went back to normal. And then I read Dr. Roberts' first book. And knowing then what aspartame did, I spent months telling people with seizures to get off of it and their seizures would stop, telling people with MS symptoms to get off and their MS stopped. And I realized that we were faced with a global epidemic, and that you know, my husband's a minister, you can't love your neighbor as yourself, and, you know, just not warn these people and let them die. And this is how it started. And, of course, if you think of Michael Fox, the Diet Pepsi spokesman, and why he got Parkinson's at the age of 30.
And, of course, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Betty Martini. This is an amazing, amazing story. And when you understand that there are people who know exactly the deleterious effects of these products and are still introducing them into our diet in so many ways, you'll have to ask yourself why. Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Betty Martini. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Betty Martini, and of course she works very, very hard, and I'd say that if there's any one person who's out there on the front lines of this battle dealing with aspartame, it's Betty. And so she began to realize that this was producing convulsions. It was producing all sorts of neurologic and progressive neurological problems. How long ago did she get started in this battle, Betty?
About 12 years ago.
Well, time goes fast when you're doing something that's really worthwhile. And actually, you're making some progress now, aren't you?
Yes, we're seeing a lot of things happening. First of all, Wednesday, racketeering charges have been filed against NutraSweet. Their Dr. Robert Moser, who has been stumbling physicians for two decades, the American Diabetes Association, who has been pushing their propaganda, and Monsanto Chemical Company. And then back in April, a suit was filed against Coke, Pepsi, Wrigley's, about 14 of some of the largest companies in the world.
Did you go after Smucker's, too, because they've taken the sugar out of their jams and put in the aspartame?
Yes, and they filed suit against Smucker's. And all of these lawsuits and what's being done is on www.wnho.net. There's a racketeering banner. Now, the other day, the Feingold Association has banned aspartame. You know, they're the ADD people. And then stevia has now been reapproved in Europe, which is a safe supplement that they banned, you know, so they could sell more NutriPoison. And of course today came the news that they were taking aspartame out of Pepsi. It's not all good news. I mean, taking aspartame is good news, but they are using Splenda, and people need to know that Splenda or sucrose is a chlorinated hydrocarbon. And as Dr. H.J. Roberts says, you know, it can cause autoimmune disease. And even in his medical text, it goes into the research, which is very bad. And so, you know, we can only take one thing at a time. We've made a lot of progress this week, but we do want people also to know that aspartame is a chemical hypersensitization agent. So if they've been on aspartame, it's going to interact with sucrose. And in fact, Dr. Mercola is a doctor who has written extensively on it, and his papers are on that WNHO.net. That's the World Natural Health Organization.
Hold that for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Betty Martini is with us, and of course she's commented that Pepsi is going to take the aspartame out of their diet, the Pepsi. They realize, of course, there are real problems, and of course there have been lawsuits filed against many of the major corporations for the use of NutraSweet, which is a poison, and when you listen to this program this evening, you realize, of course, this has never should have been approved. The only reason it was approved was because Donald Rumsfeld was on the transition team that Reagan transition team had put his man into the position as head of the FDA. And then, of course, that man overrode all the scientific studies and all the scientific boards that had studied this and said this should never be allowed to be given to human beings. And then 4 months later, Donald Rumsfeld's representative, and Donald Rumsfeld at the time was president of Cereal Corporation, the man left the FDA and went to work for the public relations firm that, of course, actually deals with cereals, Cereal's public relations firm. Now, that would be called, I would think, conflict of interest. And, of course, this was, I think, criminal activity. To actually legalize a dangerous poison and, of course, get it into all of our foods and into our drinks. And, of course, you remember how they did it at the time. They came up with some phony studies about the danger of saccharin. My understanding is that they took a cancer-prone cats, prone to get cancer of the bladder, and they gave them something like 6,000 times the normal dose of saccharin, and lo and behold, some of them got cancer. I don't know that any more got cancer than those who didn't get cancer. That didn't matter. Then they immediately banned saccharin, and that's how they sold the American people on the aspartame. And then, of course, later on, why they legalized saccharin again, because, of course, there was no reason to take it off the market. But now we had everybody using NutraSweet. And, of course, NutraSweet is sort of addicting, isn't it?
Well, yes, because it causes chronic methanol poisoning, which affects the dopamine system of the brain and causes this addiction. You know, it's interesting that I told the FDA that since they had a warning on saccharin about bladder tumors and that a 23-year study to replicate those bladder tumors had not been able to do that, that why not, why is there no warning on aspartame since it triggered in original studies, brain tumors, mammary, uterine, ovarian, pancreatic, thyroid, and testicular tumors for starters, and their own FDA toxicologist said without a shadow of a doubt that it can cause brain tumors and brain cancer and that it violates the Delaney Amendment and that the FDA had violated the law. That came from their own FDA toxicologist, Dr. Adrian Gross, talking to Congress. So whether then put that warning on aspartame, they delisted saccharin. That's what happened on that issue.
And, of course, this is the great tragedy, is that the people at the FDA know exactly what they've done, but if they want to keep their jobs, they're going to keep quiet. That's the tragedy, and they're poisoning the American people. Now, let's talk about the cancer studies. These studies were done in animals. Were any studies done in adults, or were the studies done in South America on people there to find out the effects of aspartame?
Yes, you know, they don't... simply don't publish the studies that show bad things. In the original studies, they were trying to fix them, which is why they wanted them indicted for fraud, because you can't take a deadly chemical poison and show safety. So in, let's see, it was 1983 and 84, they decided to do studies in other countries to see just how much damage aspartame would do in humans, and they used people in poor villages, and the translator who translated those
studies.
This was
in South America, wasn't it?
Yes, actually six different countries, and the people developed brain tumors. Some of them developed seizures. It showed that it completely destroys the central nervous system in the brain, and that it hardens the synovial fluids, and that's why so many people have this agonizing joint pain, and orthopedic surgeons have called and said they're finding necrosis, you know, when they do joint surgery. And, you know, it's called fibromyalgia because they don't know what else to call it, and then they say, well, these people have a depletion of serotonin, and of course that's what aspartame does. It's got 50% phenylalanine in it, which is neurotoxic, and which Dr. Wharton at MIT told Congress goes directly into the brain, lowers the seizure threshold, and depletes serotonin. And, of course, then when you lower serotonin, you've got bipolar or manic depression and mood swings, insomnia, hallucinations, and paranoia, and then it interacts with all antidepressants. So, you know, this is the problem. And then, of course, because of that serotonin, I know that you're interested in the fact that aspartame is causing such an epidemic of obesity. And I was looking through some records on it today because so many of the doctors have written about it. And I was interested in what Dr. Bowen, he explained it so well. And he said, we've all seen the postcards and comics that depict an overweight person with a Diet Coke in one hand while reaching for a bowl of corn chips with the other hand. And he says, the reason aspartame so strikingly stimulates the appetite is that it provides over half of its contact in a form of a phenylalanine isolate, which is what I mentioned, you know, that it is, as an isolate, it's neurotoxic. And here's how he explains it. He said the amino acid phenylalanine outcompetes all the other at the enzyme sites in the body, and this suppresses the formation of dopamine from tyrosine and the formation of serotonin from tryptophan.
Well, my understanding, though, is it actually does produce some lesions. Have you found that at all, that there are actually lesions in the brain as a result of using aspartame or MSG?
Oh, well, of course. And it was the famed Dr. John Oney that did that study back in 1970 and found lesions in the brains of mice from aspartame. And, of course, he did studies with MSG, which showed an obese rat.
And of course, the thing is, if you fed rats MSG or aspartame, they became morbidly obese.
Yes.
Why? Because it produces brain lesions. Today, we hear all about this epidemic of obesity. Oh, it's terrible. It's the colonel's fault. Colonel Sanders, oh, you're such a terrible fellow. You're responsible for the obesity. Or the Twin Arches that are responsible for the obesity. Or it's the Burger King. Or no, of course, so many of these people are drinking aspartame. And the scientific studies show that the more aspartame you drink, the more morbidly obese you become. And, of course, we're telling people with morbid obesity to drink aspartame because it's diet aspartame, diet Coke, diet Pepsi, and of course what it's doing is making the situation even worse. Now, you know, of course, this is the one thing that the American people are not being told, the relationship between Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi and obesity. Have you heard any talk about that, at least in the general public?
Well, I think that today we've about reached critical mass, but so much of the population, when they see the word diet, they think that they are taking something to lose weight. And usually you can tell somebody on aspartame because they're usually overweight. And I don't think a day goes by that someone doesn't call and say, I was trying to lose weight and I switched over to diet drinks, and the more I drank, the fatter I got. I never lost weight. So you know, that's really product liability when you get down to it, trying to convince people that, you know, that they are going to lose weight when they know that they're going to gain weight. And it's from so many different reasons. For instance, the Croco study shows that that methanol converts to formaldehyde, which accumulates in the cells, most of it in the liver. And when your liver is toxic, you can't lose weight. You got your metabolism changed. And it said also in the adipose tissue, which is the fat cells. So when you see these big people with big hips and thighs, you pretty much know that they are an aspartame victim. So, you know, you've got so many different reasons. And like Dr. Bowen said, when your serotonin levels are not allowed to raise as they normally do, and when you eat carbohydrates, you crave more and more food, and the dopamine is a transmitter that lets you feel satisfied. So when you use aspartame, you have this satiable cravings, and the aspartame also poisons your metabolism, so you can't burn calories. I mean, there's just no way to go when you use this, and that's why we say if you want to get that, NutraSweet is where it's at.
Well, no, my understanding is that there's a marked increase in juvenile morbid obesity. I mean, young people, 14, 13, 14, and 15, not only, but many of these children are getting type 2 diabetes that we didn't see until, you know, people were 50 or 60 years old. There's a juvenile diabetes, type 1, and of course type 2 is something you see in older people, and now we're beginning to see children, adolescents, getting type 2 diabetes. What's the relationship between aspartame poisoning and, of course, the type 2 diabetes? Is there any relationship?
Well, yes, because, as you know, Dr. H.J. Roberts is a diabetic specialist, and he says that aspartame can precipitate diabetes. And, of course, one of the reasons that the American Diabetes Association has been charged with racketeering is they know he was a member for 35 years, and they also know it interacts with insulin, and that it aggravates and stimulates diabetic retinopathy and neuropathy. And so, and 40% of our kids are using it. You know, aspartame knows no age.
And, of course, this really is a terrible thing. The Diabetic Association knows this, and they're telling their people to go ahead and take aspartame as a substitute for sugar, and yet, of course, it is actually going to increase their their problem, and of course it's going to precipitate diabetes in the very young. They know what's going on, they just don't want you and the American people to know. We'll be back in just a moment with Betty Martini and invite your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Betty, of course, you were talking a little bit earlier about the studies that were done in very, very poor villages in six different countries. Oh, where are those written up? Are those available on your website?
No, they were done in Mexico, Argentina, Belize, and three other. Guatemala, I believe, was one of them.
But they've never published these studies. They've tried to keep these studies suppressed because, after all, if the American people were to learn that they intentionally had put in a carcinogen that is at least in part responsible for the epidemic of cancer we're seeing today, they would be furious, of course. So, but is there any way we can... Who has actually written about those studies that Cyril and the government have been covering up?
Well, we have... we've been... writing about it for years.
But what is the source of reference on that?
The translator herself, who translated them.
All right, fine. So she is signed an
affidavit, a notarized affidavit, and at one point we almost have them, and we may be able to get them, but we have been trying for years, and it's been a long investigation, and we know the doctor that did it, and, you know, it's...
Will the doctor who supervised that talk about it, or is he afraid to?
He doesn't want to go public.
All right, fine. Well, of course, is this mentioned at least on your website, which is doorway.org?
Yes, it's in many, many reports. You know, it was interesting during an investigation when we were first trying to get them, and I was talking to a toxicologist and explaining it to him, and he says, well, didn't you realize that industry does studies in other countries so that they won't be known, so they can see how much damage they do? And, of course, I didn't realize that until... you know, we started investigating, and there were other studies. There was one done in Peru, and all the doctor said was it was very, very bad. And we talked to somebody who worked for Coke. He said for years he translated studies that came in from other countries. And someone else told me from Coke, he says, you think you've heard horror stories, you should work for Coke. So it's not only that they don't publish these studies, but there's a front group called ILSI, or Life Science, and universities that are trying to get research funds. It's negotiated research. For instance, even Dr. Waltman, he spoke out, admitted to in the UPI investigation that the vice president of Searle threatened him about doing studies on seizures and aspartame, and told him that his research funds would be rejected, and they were. Well, today MIT gets research funds, but Dr. Waltman no longer is willing to speak out. And so finally, because we knew that they were pros on fixing the studies, and I could explain very well some of the ways that they do them. We have that on the website. For instance, they know that aspartame is a seizure-triggering drug and how many people are having seizures. So Monsanto, when they owned them, they did studies on seizures. And you wonder, and they get it in peer-reviewed journals.
Hold that thought for just a moment, Betty, when we bring our stations back on. Well, our guest this evening is Betty Martini. We're talking about aspartame, which is a very dangerous poison. It produces brain tumors. It produces convulsions. It produces infertility. It produces abnormalities in children. It certainly produces all sorts of other physical disabilities. It produces progressive degenerative disease of the neurological system. But right now, Betty was talking about, of course, what she had found about how some of these studies that have been put out for doctor secret and how this information has been covered up, and of course they've used it to spend a great deal of money to silence the truth. So pick up the story there, Betty.
So we take a study like the Rowan study, and that what they had, 18 people in this study, and they gave 16 anti-seizure medication. They were so afraid they'd have a seizure, but they only gave them one capsule of aspartame for a one-day study. I call that tantamount to smelling the bottle. But yet, you know, it appears in this peer-reviewed journal, and it does not, you know, tell anybody that they were on anti-seizure medication in this one-day study, and then they can say the Rowan study showed that aspartame doesn't cause seizures. That is the way that they get away with it. So finally, Dr. Ralph Walton did an incredible job on research on scientific peer-reviewed research and funding, which he showed on 60 Minutes when Dr. Oney made world news back in 1996 about the aspartame brain tumor association, because aspartame breaks down to a brain tumor agent, diketocyprazine, and he showed that 92% of all independent scientific peer-reviewed studies shows aspartame problems.
And, of course, the thing is that if it's financed by the drug company, you can't count on it at all.
No, they're always going to say it's safe. But the point of it is that if 92% show problems, and as he put it, if you eliminate six that the FDA had something to do with because they're the handmaiden of the pharmaceutical industry, and one pro-industry summary, he says you're talking about 100% of independent scientific peer-reviewed studies showing the problems.
And so showing basically the case, that there were going to be convulsions specifically?
Yes, yes. In fact, you know, Dr. Walton himself did a study on aspartame. The interesting thing about that is that after Monsanto said they would supply the aspartame, they refused, and it was because that they had no control over it. And sure enough, one person got a retinal detachment, lost his vision during the study. Another one had conjunctival bleeding from the eyes, and some of the people said they were being poisoned, and the institution stopped the study. And it shows you that you simply cannot do a legitimate study on aspartame without hurting the people. And that's why the doctors, some of them have told me that with all that we know after 20 years and a medical text written on it, and it being declared a global plague, that it is not right to do any more studies, because it's sort of like telling people to sign up for a study on arsenic. Not only that, neurosurgeon Dr. Blaylock even says on the DoorWay website, and that's www.dorway.com, just one O, that the reactions to aspartame are not even allergic, that they're toxic like arsenic and cyanide, because what you're taking is a deadly, deadly neurotoxin, an actual chemical poison, and you're actually being poisoned, so much so that in the medical text, Dr. Roberts actually wrote a page on pre-embalming, because of all that formaldehyde accumulating in the cells.
And I think it's so important that people realize that this produces lesions in the spinal cord and lesions of the brain, doesn't it?
Yes. And
because it really is poisoning the nerve cells and the axons there. And this is, they know these things. They just don't want the American people to know. How would you cover something like this up? Well, you control the major media. That's how you cover it up.
It is so easy to prove. You know, I had a couple of sisters visit me recently, both Diet Coke drinkers, both diagnosed with MS, and Dr. Blaylock has just written a paper on it, which is on WNHO, and one of the women, as soon as she got off aspartame, 22 symptoms disappeared. So the doctor said, well, the only way that we can document it is if you're willing to get back on Diet Coke. And, of course, when she did, they came back with a vengeance. That's how easy it is to prove it and why they don't want independent studies done.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Betty Martini, and we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We're here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Could they really be poisoning the American people? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Betty Martini. Her website is Doorway, DORWAY.org. You want to go there, you want to get her material, and of course there'll be links to other websites as well. You need to find out the information. Now, of course, Dr. Roberts has written an excellent book on this. Aspartame Disease, The Ignored Epidemic. We carry that book. Dr. Blaylock has written a book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. We have a 4-tape set on aspartame. We will be carrying the video, which calls Sweet Misery, Poisoning the World. It's actually put together by a woman who was diagnosed as MS related to her chronic use of aspartame. How is she doing at the present time? Is she doing pretty well?
Cori Brackett,
right.
She walked out of her wheelchair off aspartame, and one of the largest lesions in her brain completely disappeared, just as it is happening in other MS victims.
And of course, the video actually has interviews with a number of people who've been on aspartame, have gotten off of it, and have overcome their MS. Is that true, or at least they're dramatically improved?
Oh yes. I don't think I've ever seen an MS victim in all the years that I've been doing this, that the symptoms haven't disappeared or 90% improvement on it. It's, unless it was too late. Joyce Wilson is an example. She had one of these organizations like Mission Possible. It was aspartame victims and their friends. And I inherited her records, and she wrote to Senator Metzenbaum, and she said, "It's too late for me." You know, she was misdiagnosed with MS when she was using all these aspartame products. She went blind on it and eventually died like an Alzheimer victim. And, you've probably read some of these reports that diabetic patients, that 65% have Alzheimer's. Well, aspartame escalates Alzheimer's, and memory loss is so prevalent that it's like number 9 on the FDA report of 92 symptoms, and Dr. Roberts has written the book, Defense Against Alzheimer's Disease. And one of the points that really should be brought out to people is that aspartame is such a poison that it knows no age. For instance, Time Magazine did a front page article on children with bipolar, and said they, a million children have this, when in fact this is a disease of adults. Why are children getting it? And Alzheimer victims, are being...
Hold that thought right there, Betty. Well, our guest this evening is Betty Martini. We'll get to Steve calling from Michigan in just a moment. And again, I would put our telephone number out as 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Betty was talking about, of course, the epidemic of bipolar disease in children. Bipolar disease is usually not a disease of children. It's a disease of adults. But you're commenting, of course, that you feel that some of this is related to the excessive ingestion of aspartame poison.
Obviously, and I tell you, Dr. Walton, the psychiatrist, is very, very interested in that. And, of course, it interacts with all antidepressants and these psychiatric drugs. So it's a real serious problem. And 30-year-old people are getting Alzheimer's. And, this is the problem that they have to remember. Aspartame knows no disease. When you're talking about aspartic acid, which is caused lesions in the brain, as Dr. Bowen brought out, Dr. James Bowen, and we have his report on both of these websites, is that this aspartic acid seeps into the brain in the area where it's most prominent for MS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and Parkinson's, and how this excitotoxin is flushed up against the hypothalamus, and this is why you see so many people with male sexual dysfunction. This is why we're spammed with all these ads for Viagra, because aspartame causes this, and it also ruins female response. It causes infertility because it's an endocrine disrupting drug that stimulates prolactin and changes the menses. It's a teratogen and causes birth defects. It's an abortive asset, so it destroys the family. It completely destroys the family.
And first, the epidemic of cancer we're having. Well, let's go to Steve, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Steve. You have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. I appreciate the show.
Are you listening in Flint or in Detroit?
Detroit.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I used to drink a lot of Diet Pepsi, and my retina detached, actually. And I'm just curious if there's any way I can go back and, you know, if I can prove that correlation or how I would do that, number one. And number two, can you real briefly comment on saccharin and Splenda?
All right, fine. First of all, what about retinal detachment? Is there any relationship between these aspartame and retinal detachment?
Yes, it is so common. That's why there's so much laser surgery. And I would tell you to get on the Doorway website with 1-0, scroll down to experts, Dr. Roberts, and read What's Blinding the World. And it will go into these retinal detachments. And the reason is that it's got wood alcohol in it, or methanol. You remember during Prohibition how people went blind on it? Well, it converts to formaldehyde and formic acid in the retina of the eye and destroys the optic nerve. So people are getting optic neuritis, macular degeneration, retinal detachments, and going blind.
And Dr. Roberts has written extensively about that. Does he have more in his actual book than his opening
website? Yes, he has a whole chapter on the eyes, and you can read about it. I will tell you one thing that may make you feel just a little bit better, but Dr. Morgan Rayford, who was an ophthalmologist and the specialist in the United States on methanol toxicity, he testified before Congress. He owned the Atlanta Eye Hospital here in Atlanta before he died some years ago. And I inherited some of his records, and I noticed that when he said that if vision is in the wet stage, in other words, you warn somebody in time, it will return. And it's been incredible to see these people that have been declared legally blind, that we are able to warn in time and see their vision return. One of them that was on a TV program, the Deborah Duncan program with me, was declared legally blind. She was in an automobile accident because of an aspartame seizure. But by the time we were on TV, her vision had completely returned, and the seizures had stopped, and she was able to drive again.
Now, Steve wanted to know about some of the other things. What were the things you wanted to know about Splenda?
Splenda and saccharin.
All right, Splenda and saccharin, where do they stand?
Okay, Splenda is a coal tar product. It is a chemical, but it has been on the market 100 years and with very few complaints. I personally wouldn't use anything that's a chemical or put it in my body, but that's for you to decide. However, Splenda is very dangerous because it is a chlorinated hydrocarbon, you know, like DDT. That's what Dr. Bowen says. He says if you're going to drink, use Splenda, you might as well use DDT, which was outlawed. And the research is on WNHO.net. Dr. Mercola has written a good deal about it. And if you couldn't use sugar, there is a safe sweetener list on Doorway, and you can get stevia, which is an herb, 200 times sweeter than sugar, that helps in the metabolism of sugar and fights bacteria, and you can get that in any health food store. And while you're on Doorway, you can even read the comments of Larry Hagman, who said it saved his life when he became a diabetic after a liver transplant.
And that you mean JR?
Oh, yeah, he called one day.
All right, find anything else, Steve?
Just saccharin real quick.
All right, saccharin. The saccharin's been around for 100 years, hasn't it?
Yes, and incidentally, if you want to know all about it,
go to the Doorway website. Just remember 1-0 in the door. And Dr. Roberts actually wrote a position paper on everything about saccharin, so you can print that out.
Is it safe to take?
He says it is.
All right,
he says that a 23-year study to replicate the bladder tumors, and he believes that they did that to try to get NutraSweet on the market.
And I really, the saccharin, of course, has been used for a long time, and as far as I can tell, it's safe. So, you know, anyway, anything else you want to know, Steve?
No, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Betty Martini, and we're talking about aspartame poisoning. And this is really such a tragedy because we're seeing an epidemic of cancer. The other day I was talking to one of my friends, and he was talking about all the doctors and how many of their wives, one of the wives' wife had just died of cancer, and one of the doctor's daughter was dying of cancer or had cancer, and one of the doctors himself, this was all in one office, was actually had a pre-leukemic condition. We're seeing an epidemic of cancer across America, and the government has no explanation for it. Well, I think there are several explanations, and one of them is that they know that aspartame produces cancer in animals. They know it produces cancer in human beings. And, of course, they're covering this up intentionally. And you have to ask yourself, why would anybody do something like that? Well, you know, some of the other things. What about the Lou Gehrig-type disease? This is certainly can be directly related. At least some of those cases can be related to aspartame, can't they?
Yes, Dr. Bowen has Lou Gehrig's from aspartame. That's why he's written so much on it. An interesting thing is that you remember during the first Persian Gulf War that they put all those diet drinks, they said not to send sugar to the Persian Gulf. So, and they didn't have a whole lot of water, but they piled diet drinks up very high in the 120 degree Arabian sun, and of course what they were drinking is formaldehyde cocktails. The interesting thing to look at the symptoms of Persian Gulf, they are identical to aspartame disease, and I told the government that about how it causes and mimics MS and causes Lou Gehrig's. They took away the benefits, then they decided to do a study on Desert Storm Syndrome and then said that it causes Lou Gehrig's, and they gave them their benefits back.
In fact, they found that there was a marked increase, of a significant increase in the incidence of Lou Gehrig's disease among people who'd been to the Gulf War in comparison with other troops of a similar age. So you're absolutely right. They gave it now. If you got Lou Gehrig's disease and you were in the Gulf War, then you get a permanent disability for that. So the government recognizes this, but they won't get a tall end of the cause of that.
Well, you know, I did write a report on it, quoting Dr. Blaylock's book about Lou Gehrig's and also quoting Dr. Bowen. And if you get on that WNHO.net and you click on aspartame, you could read it. It's the case for Lou Gehrig's, and it's quoting the doctors about it, and it'll give you all the information that you need. And Lou Gehrig's is a terrible, horrible thing because, you know, they get paralyzed, they can't move, but they have all their senses. And yet, if we could just get to them and get them off of aspartame like Dr. Bowen found out, he is able to function because he got off of it and got as much as he could of the aspartame out of his body. And this is why he tells me and has told me over and over, he said, Betty, you've got to tell people that it's a chemical hypersensitization agent. If they want to live a normal life after using aspartame, they've got to go back to scratch. They've got to read labels. They've got to stay away from additives. Aspartame interacts with fluoride, has an additive and synergistic effect with MSG. It interacts with vaccines. And so this is another reason that Dr. Blaylock wrote a paper, What to Do If You Have Used Aspartame, and he points out that you must use magnesium because magnesium protects the brain and the heart from cytotoxins, and aspartame, first of all, causes damage to the cardiac conduction system and sudden death, causes an irregular heart rhythm and interacts with all cardiac medication. And he says that people have got to take magnesium to protect the heart and the brain. And his new book is has a lot about that, Health and Nutrition Secrets to Save Your Life, and little bits of secrets that a lot of people wouldn't know. He points out, for instance, that elderly people who have operations sometimes have cardiac problems. He said if the surgeon just knew to put a little magnesium in the IV, that wouldn't happen.
And I think that we carry that book, Health and Nutrition Secrets
right.
to Save Your Life.
We think
it's
book.
An excellent, excellent book. And we even have a four-tape set with Dr. Blaylock covering many of the things in that book entitled A Life-Saving Secret. So, of course, we didn't have a four-tape set on aspartame, too. People need to understand that we've been poisoned. We're poisoning our young people. They're becoming morbidly obese. They're getting juvenile diabetes. I should not say juvenile diabetes. They're getting a type 2 diabetes, which is adult diabetes. And, of course, there's no question in my mind that this is directly related to this poison. We're seeing an epidemic of cancer. We're seeing an epidemic of brain tumors. More and more people are getting convulsions. You get a convulsion, you can't drive. And it's all related to aspartame. The incidence of MS and, of course, Lou Gehrig's disease and so many of the degenerative diseases of the central nervous system is increasing. Larger numbers of women are becoming infertile all the time. There seems to be an increase in the number of children born with birth deformities, and of course some of this is directly related to the aspartame poisoning. So it really encompasses almost every aspect of our lives. And the average person has no idea that when they're getting prepared foods down at the grocery store, so many of these will have NutraSweet in them, or they actually use all sorts of names. And then, of course, doesn't NutraSweet interact with MSG?
Yes, it has an additive and synergistic effect. And, you know, interesting, anybody that I have ever told about the fact that it causes infertility that got off of it, got pregnant. I have to tell you a very interesting story because it just really bothers me in the grocery store. That's why we have flyers, and the Idaho Observer has provided us with 24-page booklets to give out called The Artificially Sweetened Times. But at one time I saw a woman just piling up her cart with Diet Coke, and she was talking to a friend that after 10 years she was going to adopt. And I said, honey, the reason that you can't get pregnant, you're drinking this Diet Coke, took it all out, put it back on the shelf, gave her a flyer, finally gave her one of Dr. Roberts' papers on aspartame and pregnancy and several things. She got to the cash register, and she had it again. I took it back again. Well, I didn't see this lady for about a year and a half, and she came running down the street and with a little girl, a little baby under her arm. And she was going to a fertility clinic, and she said, the nerve of this woman telling me it was my Diet Coke. And the doctor looked at the papers. He says, well, she didn't write these. This is written by Dr. Roberts. And he says, you know, it couldn't hurt to get off of it. And after she got pregnant, she says, well, I couldn't think of your name. And the doctor says, well, you know, Dr. Roberts is the man that wrote it. So she named the little girl Roberta, and the doctor said, if you ever find that woman again, you tell her there's a run on the name Roberta. So he absolutely got all these people in the fertility clinic off of it, and they all got pregnant.
Well, isn't that an amazing, amazing story? And, of course, the thing is that this poisons the reproductive system. It has an effect on the male as far as his testes and testosterone is concerned, has an impact on the female, and the average American has no idea that this is all covered in extensively by scientific studies. But, of course, the average doctor is not reading this. The average fertility expert is not reading it. The average obstetrician is not reading it. And yet he's telling, you know, pregnant women, well, go ahead and drink Diet Coke because, of course, you know, it's a diet drink and it'll keep you from putting on weight when you're pregnant, not realizing, of course, the terrible effects it can have on the unborn child. That is the criminal criminal activity, not the doctor's fault at all, but the people who are concealing this fact from the doctors.
You know, I would suggest that people on that subject read Dr. Blaylock's letter to the Miami Herald, because what's been going on lately, the Calorie Control Council is a front group of the NutraSweet company, and this woman with them actually wrote the Miami Herald trying to tell pregnant women that it was safe, and even telling it was okay for people with PKU, phenylketonurics, which can't metabolize phenylalanine. And Dr. Blaylock wrote the most incredible, incredible letter to the Miami Herald about this front group and this woman. And recently, Pampers said for pregnant women to use it. And we've written Pampers and said there will be no babies to put Pampers on if you don't get this propaganda off your website.
Well, of course, is Dr. Blaylock's letter up on your website?
Yes, it's on WNHO.net. Click on aspartame. It is an incredible letter. It says it all.
All right, fine, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you know where to get the information, and so we'll be back just a moment or two to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening has been Betty Martini. We've been talking about aspartame and aspartame poisoning. And, of course, there are two websites you can go to. One is doorway.com, and the other is WNHO.net. Is that right?
Yes, that's the World Natural Health Organization.
Yeah, WNHO.net, but it's doorway.com, isn't it?
Yes, with one O in the door.
All right, fine. And first, get the information. Find out if it's really true. Let me suggest you get Dr. Blaylock's excellent book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, that you get his book, Life-Saving Health Secrets. And then, Health Secrets That Can Save Your Life is the title. Really, that's an excellent book. We put out really hundreds of those. And then, of course, we carry a four-tape set with Dr. Blaylock called Life-Saving Health Secrets. And we have a four-tape set on aspartame. And actually, you'd do well to get a copy of this interview this evening, because we've covered a lot of very, very exciting information. Well, what message would you like to leave with our listeners this evening, Betty?
Well, that they save a life today. In other words, that they can get these warning flyers off doorway. They can print out these reports. They're going to come in contact with so many people once they know what aspartame causes. And to also, that movie is incredible, Sweet Misery, A Poison World, because you've got all the world experts in there, or some of them, and the attorneys explaining, you know, how it was approved. And help the effort until we can get it off the market. The RICO charges are also a class, so they can read that and
Is the lawsuit then up on your website as well?
Right, and it's being turned into a class action. Whatever it takes, we're going to get it off the market. And as you see, the lawsuits are helping as Pepsi removes it,
Pepsi has actually taken a NutraSweet out of their Diet Coke because they realize, of course, the implications of this lawsuit, and you hate to have to turn to lawyers to get what should be done by doctors and by scientists and by our government agencies, but they're not about to do it. And so God bless the lawyers for being willing to take this on, and if they make a few billion dollars out of it, I don't care, because think of all the lives that are going to be saved.
Right, exactly.
Well, Betty, I really appreciate so much your being with it. I know it's late at night back there, and you're probably exhausted, but you did a great job this evening, and I'm really looking forward to getting you back onto one of our short weekend programs, because those go to 35, 36 stations now. We need to get this information out, and with your help and your knowledge, we certainly will. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you've enjoyed this evening's program. I think it's a very important subject, and it's important that you understand this, you get the information, and you can get so much from us. And we actually carry almost everything we talked about. We'll be carrying that video, A Sweet Misery, Poisoning the World, Dr. Roberts' excellent book. It's almost 1,000, it's actually over 1,000 pages. It's called The Aspartame Disease, The Forgotten Epidemic, by Dr. Blaylock's excellent book, Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills, his other book, Health Secrets That Can Save Your Life. All of this information is available from Radio Liberty. You can go to the websites and pull down the articles off the Internet and get the flyers. Talk to people. Understand, first of all, what's happening. Understand that we're destroying the minds and hearts of children. This actually produces a decrease in IQ, a learning disability of children who have a tendency towards a PKU abnormalities, and of course this affects the brain, something we're very, very concerned about. But even if they carry the gene, it would never have any problem if they get aspartame. Why this interacts, and of course they'll begin getting the progressive metal loss and metal deficiency because they're taking aspartame, and it's then activating this recessive gene that they carry. There's so many things, and of course the fact that this is known to create cancers. Why are we having such an epidemic of cancers? Is there anybody in the listening audience who doesn't know somebody who is dying or has died of cancer? Why is it happening? Well, maybe, just maybe, these studies that have been done in South America, they knew what it was going to do. They knew what happened in the villages in South America and in Central America where this was tried. And this information has been actively suppressed in the United States with the full help and cooperation of not only of the corporations that were marketing aspartame, but people working with the highest levels of our government who have a different agenda. And until you understand, we really are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a medical and political and ideological battlefield. You can't understand anything that's going on. If you have not read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. If you have not seen our sustainable development syllabus, you need to get that, because if we go into the population control agenda, if we go into the Georgia Guidestones, which I've been to, visited in Elberton, Georgia, you'll actually see pictures of them and the inscriptions there where they talk about the necessity of getting the world population down to 500 million in constant balance with nature. Well, if you read that, doesn't mean too much unless you think about it. They're talking about killing off over 90% of the world's population. That's the only way to maintain the world population at 500 million. They have to get us there. First of all, how would they do such things? Why, nobody would be that evil, would they? Or would they? Are there people who have a different agenda, who dream a different dream, who march to a different drumbeat, who worship a different god? Well, we hope that many of you out there will want to check the facts. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. You'll certainly want to get our sustainable development syllabus, our sustainable development talk, our population control talk, our new talk on sustainable development, the role to world government, and so much more. It's all available at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Then we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to coming to our November 6th all-day-long seminar. That lunch will be served. We're bringing in outside speakers. It's going to be held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And, of course, November 6th, you have to have reservations. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and we'll have a lot of the information you need will be available there. Don't forget the Institute of the Constitution, which will be meeting on Saturday morning from 9 to 12 in Salinas. And the telephone number to call is 877-448-5798. That's 877-448-5798. And, of course, you need to get this information. You need to help us get it out. People need to understand the foundations of our freedom, that America was founded as a Christian nation. No longer are we a Christian nation, but we were founded on that. And even if you're not a Christian, you have to understand the foundation and the ideas upon which this nation was created to understand why we're losing it. Pray for America and pray for Radio Liberty. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.